6 months about the topic of faith, about what the Bible says about faith, and we're kind of reaching our climax, our destination, and trying to understand, get a handle on this amazing stuff that the Bible calls faith. We've seen lots of different aspects. It's almost as like we're looking at a diamond and trying to appreciate the different facets of this diamond, this beautiful diamond. And each week we've looked at some different aspect of it. And each facet of its own doesn't fully describe what faith is, but it gives us an insight. It's almost like we've been, like this hall here, we've been marching around the hall, kind of defining an area, marching around kind of an area which is bounded by this something in the middle, which is this stuff called faith. We've been kind of going around the perimeter, as it were, of faith. And so we need God's help today, because we want to really get clear. God, what is this stuff called faith? We saw, first of all, the Apostle John said that the people had faith, Jews had faith, that the crowds had faith. He says that they put their faith in Jesus. In other words, faith is something that they naturally had. It was a measure of human faith. And people believe in all kinds of stuff, as you know. And everyone's got, to some extent, some measure of human faith, as the Apostle John points out. Secondly, we can see that God commands us to have faith. We're told to have faith. And we looked another time at what the Bible said, that it's impossible to please God without faith. And that everything that wasn't of faith was sin. So it was quite a kind of stark message about the importance and the centrality of faith in our relationship with God. Thirdly, we saw Paul was speaking to the Christians in Ephesus. And there he was describing how faith was a gift they received from God. He said, it's not from yourselves. This stuff called faith doesn't come for yourself. There's something to be received, which is from heaven, which is a gift for you to have. Another different facet of this stuff, faith. And then lastly, we saw that Paul, speaking to the church in Rome, said everyone has a measure of faith. All of us have a measure. God's given us, as followers of Jesus Christ, a measure of faith. And that measure is enough to do the things God's called us to, which is a great relief to know that. So that's where we're kind of up to. We've kind of been looking at these boundaries of this thing called faith. And today, we want to take another step. And we want to look at a very practical aspect of faith. We want to look at faith to live by. Faith that we need for our daily lives. Let's pray together. Father, we recognize and realize that this stuff, faith, that you want us to have, that you say we have, that you say we need more of, Lord, that we're in a sense, we're trying to know and find out about this stuff called faith, and we need your help. We need the revelation from heaven. We need you to open the eyes of our hearts that we could understand and appreciate, and even more, that we could see working in our lives. The power of faith. Lord, that it would flow through us. Lord, that it would grip us. Lord, that we would, this engine of faith would work in our lives. We're asking today that you would give us clarity, give us understanding. Lord, we're coming to you asking for your help today. Lord Jesus, please help us. Amen. There's a story of a man. He was the only survivor of a shipwreck, and he was washed up on a small uninhabited island. The man cried out to God, and every day he scanned the horizon looking for help, hoping that he would be rescued, but no hope arrived. Exhausted, he eventually managed to build some rough kind of hut, a kind of shelter thing out of what was around, and the few possessions that he had, he put in the hut. But one day, he was out scavenging around the island looking for some food. And as he returned to his hut, he saw that his hut had caught fire. Flames were licking up and the smoke was billowing up into the sky. The worst had happened. He was gutted. The little that he had was been taken away. He was in despair. And that night, he fell asleep beneath the stars, a man that was desperate. But to his great surprise, early the next morning, a ship came over the horizon, headed for the island, stopped and rescued him. How do you know I was here? He asked the crew. Oh, we saw your smoke signal, they replied. See, God answered his prayer But not in the way he wanted, not in the way he had hoped, not in the, kind of the format that he'd hoped. God, you could do this, and you could bring a ship, and it could come. God did something. God brought him through that situation, not exactly in the kind of way he had worked out in his head. He had a kind of plan, and God did it a different way. And today, I want us to see, because I believe that God has a way through every situation in our life. Whatever situation, whatever things we face in our life, I believe as a God has a way through that for each one of us. God's powerful. He's the only one, of course, that knows the future. No one else knows the future. I don't know the future. You don't know the future. And God can make a way through situations in our lives that we could never dream how he's going to do it. And this morning I want us to find out about this stuff called faith to live by. How am I going to live my life with this stuff called faith that's going to get me through every situation that occurs in my life? I'm not talking about something theoretical, something abstract. I'm not talking about something just limited to the people, the great men and women of the Bible, or other people, but something for us in our lives. And there's this lovely scripture, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, famous verse. And he's talking about how he's comparing living our lives now, where we're focused on things around us, with another focus, which is this, which is using these things he calls eyes of faith, where we're looking, our focus isn't on the things around us, but it's a different perception, it's a different view, it's a different way through. And in the context of what Paul's saying, if you look at that passage in Corinth, to the Corinthians, what he's doing is he's describing how it's possible for the Corinthians, Christians in Corinth, to live their lives on a daily basis such that their sight, their preoccupation, what they're thinking about, isn't just limited to what they can see and touch and the things around them. There's something else. There's a different angle. There's a different perception. And he calls this stuff faith. I just wanted to kind of contrast that. These eyes are funny things, aren't they? Sometimes it's easy to trick these things. When I was younger, I was very much I loved optical illusions and tricks. I was I enjoyed I did a little kind of turn as I was younger. My little act as a child was some prestidigitation. Prestidigitation is the art of card tricks, I did this trick where I could memorize a pack of cards, and then just look at the first one, and then tell you every single of those other 51 cards. Now, obviously, it was a trick. It was an illusion. I didn't actually remember 51 cards, but these eyes are easy to fool. Very easy to fool. That's what magicians on TV make their lives out of. But as Christians, we're not limited to these things. We're not limited to what we can see with our eyes. But God's given us another kind of sight. It's a sight that can see through situations. Jesus said these words, which at one hand are challenging, another hand they're also encouraging. This is what Jesus said. This is recorded in the book of John. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." Now that's not a very encouraging thing to say, is it? It's a prophecy of Jesus, and Jesus was saying to his followers, and as us, you and I, as followers of Jesus, those same words ring true in our hearts. The world is opposed to us. This world we live in, you will have trouble. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, maybe the next day, but you will have trouble. I remember one time in my life, I was one of these seasons of change in my life, and some people who were praying for me, and someone who I'd never met before, Kay, gave me a personal prophecy. And as they gave it, they said, God wants you to be encouraged because you're going to go through a difficult time, a hard time. And my heart was sunk. I thought, well, couldn't I have a nice prophecy? Couldn't I have something, you're going to be blessed and it's going to be great. But there was something wrong. As I tested the prophecy and weighed it before God, I discerned it was from God. It was what God was warning me that there was going to be some challenges. In fact, the very words of Jesus, in this world, you will have trouble. And I did. I did have trouble. Quite a few years of trouble. And the thing was, the thing that was great to know is that God had told me beforehand. So I had a view of the sovereignty of God, of the greatness of God, of the bigness of God, that in fact, God knew about it. And in the prophecies also, there was encouragement that God was going to bring me through. Look at the words of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so Jesus, he's greater, he's overcome the world. And the Apostle John didn't leave it there, thankfully, didn't kind of leave it there. Well, how does that help you and me? Because writing in the book of 1 John, look what he says this. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, or it's our faith. And so the thing that overcomes the world, in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You and I are going to have trouble. If we're going to follow God, if we're going to go God's way, if we're going to seek to glorify God and do what God wants, we are going to have trouble. But listen, there's a victory that overcomes. There's a victory that makes the way through. We're not downtrodden and defeated and squashed down. No, the victory that's overcome the world is our faith. And so God has given us something that's an engine to get us through this life. There's some power from God. And that's this stuff, faith. Because I believe faith, eyes of faith, it's like a sort of be able to see with these natural eyes, I can see so much. But with my eyes of faith, Paul talks about he talks about opening the eyes of your heart. He talks about enlightenment, enlightening us so we can see the things that God has for us. And the thing about faith is faith allows us to look past the things we can see with our eyes. And look and see, God, what are you going to do to bring us through this situation? Yes, there will be trouble. Yes, we are in trouble. There's going to be trouble, maybe now, maybe tomorrow. But God, there is a way through, and faith enables me to see through that situation. And to help us this morning, I want to look at a passage in Acts 27. If you've got your Bibles and you'd like to turn to that, that'd be great. Because we're going to look at a situation where the Apostle Paul got himself, well, he didn't get himself. He was placed in some very sticky trouble. In Acts 27, the Apostle Paul was in a real load of trouble. And let's see what God did in that situation. Because I think there's things to learn and things we can learn from how Paul responded and what happened in that that situation. So Acts 27. And as you read through that, what you see is that the Apostle Paul, he was traveling aboard a ship. He was taken by an armed guard, and he was being taken to Rome. And on the way, the ship ran into a terrible storm. It's Acts 27 verse 18 describes this storm. The storm was very violent and serious. This is what it says in Acts 27 18. We took such a violent battering from the storm, because the storm started one day. It says the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. So on this boat there was some cargo, but they were so fearing for their lives, they thought, who cares how much this cargo's worth? Who cares that this cargo's worth? Let's just get rid of it. If it means we can survive this storm, let's get rid of it. So he threw the cargo overboard. Then he carries on. Verse 19, on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. The things that they need to steer the ship and the rigging, they just threw all that overboard as well. Because they were so desperate, they thought, we are not going to come through this. Anything that can lighten this boat, get rid of it. They were absolutely desperate at that point. Look what he says then in verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Now this storm lasted 2 weeks. Look in verse 27. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. So imagine this boat. It wasn't a large boat, and it was caught up in this violent storm. And it was such a violent storm that they threw the cargo overboard, they threw everything overboard, and that they just had been kept awake and kept in this state of fear for 14 days. It was an awful experience. All on board the ship were powerless as the storm smashed against this boat. They were in fear of being drowned at any time. There were 270, the passage here tells us there's 276 people on board that ship. They were so scared they didn't eat. So for 2 weeks they didn't eat because they just thought any minute we're going to die. I mean, I've never been in a situation like that. I've been on a yacht out of Brighton Harbour once, and it got a bit choppy, and I thought I'm going to die as I was being seasick. But everyone here in this boat, imagine 2 weeks of continuous living on a knife edge, not knowing are we going to die or not, are we going to make it. In fact, they'd given up hope, as it says, they just didn't have any hope at all. The sailors, the experienced sailors, they saw the waves, those huge waves. They saw the wind beating against the boat. They saw the sea surge, the lightning, the rain. They saw it with their eyes. Paul saw it too. Reading this account reminds me of a story of the English painter Turner. Because one of his famous paintings is of a storm at sea scene. Very, very realistic. Very reminding of this kind of situation here. And one of his friends, when his friend saw the painting that he'd done, he said, "This is fantastic. It's so realistic. How did you manage to paint such a realistic storm picture?" And the painter said this. He said, "I went to the coast of Holland and I paid a fisherman to take me out to sea in the next storm. When the storm was brewing, I asked him to tie me to the mast. Then he steered his boat into the teeth of the storm. The storm raged with such fury that I longed to be at the bottom of the boat. I could not. I was tied to the mast. Not only did I see the storm in its raging fury, I felt it. It blew into me until I became a part of it. After this terrible ordeal, I returned to my studio and painted the picture." What a commitment to art. but that guy, it's such an experience of a storm. And Paul's in the midst of this terrible storm with all the others. What did Paul do? Well, remember that Paul was the one. This is what he wrote. We live by faith, not by sight. And Paul was a great practical kind of guy. What did Paul actually do? Well, Paul didn't look around. He did look around him and see all the things that were happening, all the terrible storm they were in. But he lifted his eyes and he looked to God in the middle, right in the middle. I mean, how he did it, I don't know. I mean, as I said, when I was that boat off Brighton, I couldn't enough just to keep myself on there. But Paul turned to God. And whereas this physical storm that Paul's talking about here was very terrible, that I hope none of us experience a storm like that, because it just sounds absolutely terrible. But yet, there may be other storms in our life. There may be emotional storms. There may be financial storms. There may be relationship storms, family storms. There may be storms at work. We've all had a few of those, where it seems like I feel like I'm not going to get through this. I feel like I'm going to die. I just can't see a way through this. And where they all gave up hope, they'd thrown the rigging overboard, the cargo overboard. There was such a big storm they weren't even eating. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe today you're in a storm. And then let's see what Paul did. Let's see if there's any clues to help us in the middle of a storm. I don't know whether Paul remembered the words of Jesus, but Jesus said these words, recorded in the book of Matthew. He said, "Go to your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Now, Paul, I guess on this boat, Paul didn't have a room. I mean, he was just taken as a prisoner, so I guess he could literally go to a room. But he must have found somewhere just to be alone with God in the middle of this thing. And then God spoke to him. God sent an angel, very dramatic. And God wants to speak to us. In the middle of a storm, right in the middle of a storm, God wants to speak. And just as Paul there, in the worst situation where everyone else, including Luke who wrote it, because he said, we have all given up hope. He was including himself in that. But Paul didn't give up hope, because he turned his eyes and thought, God, there must be a way through this. I don't kind of see how, but there must be a way through this storm. And so he turned to his Heavenly Father, and he wanted to see, he wanted, with eyes of faith, see what God, what are you going to do? How are we going to get through it? And in our lives, that right in the midst of a storm, even when we don't feel like it, when we feel like giving up, we feel like the artist Turner, who said, I just wanted to be down and just let the whole thing wash over me. But that's the time where God wants to speak. Because God wants us to know there is a way through. Whatever the storm is, there's a way through. Now God spoke to Paul very specifically in Acts 27, 25, when this angel told Paul that what's going to happen, you're going to come through this, I'm going to bring you through it. Paul stood up to the others and he said in 27:25, I have faith in God. Now he was the only one on that ship, I guess, that did have any faith, because the storm was raging there. But he stood up and he said, but because you see, the reason he had faith was not because he just was a spiritual guy or just kind of just had some extra resources other people didn't, or he was even brave. But the reason he had faith is that God had spoke to him in the middle of the storm. So because God had spoken to him, that gave him faith. And so he says, I have faith that it will happen just as he told me. God had told him what he was going to do. And that's what I wanted us to challenge us today. If you're in the middle of a storm, if you're today in the middle of a storm, to get before God, go to the room, close the door, and pray to your Father's unseen. And find out, God, what are you saying? What's the way through this situation? Because just as God loved Paul and wanted to bring him through the situation, I believe God wants to bring us through our situations in our lives. Now the thing that I've, in reflecting on this passage, the thing that's very interesting about it is that God didn't rescue Paul out of the situation. He brought him through it. You see, when Jesus walked on the water, when Jesus was in the boat, and there was a storm, in the boat, and Jesus calmed the storm. There was a raging storm. The disciples were afraid, and Jesus stopped it. Jesus stopped the situation happening. So maybe Paul would have thought, maybe God's going to do that. Maybe God's going to do what he's done before and just still this storm. It would be awfully handy if he did. We'd get out of this situation. But God didn't do that. God didn't take him out of that situation. God made a way through that situation. And I think that's really important for us to see, that sometimes we can have in our minds view, God, you could get me out of this situation by doing that and that and that. And if you don't hurry up and do it, I'm going to do it anyway. Sometimes we kind of put a bit of pressure on God if it's something we can influence. Because we can see a possible way out of a situation that we're in. And Paul would have remembered what happened with Jesus in the boat and thought, that's the way out of this situation. That would work great. God, how can you come and do that now? And God said, no, actually, I'm going to not take you out of this situation. I'm going to take you through this situation. I guess Paul didn't want to hear that, really. I guess he was encouraged to know he was going to come through. But the thought of having to continue to go through this storm and all it was going to mean, and God told him, you are going to be shipwrecked. I've never been shipwrecked, but I guess it's not a nice thing. And so God didn't rescue him from the pain and the difficulty and the problem of what he was in. But what God did do is make a way through it. Do you see why that's so important? Because in our lives, all kinds of things happen. And so often, God wants just to get alongside us and make a way right through that situation. And there's a number of reasons why I think God wants to do that. If you think about what happened to Paul, when Paul had been shipwrecked and he was there on the island of Malta, which is where they landed, and you thought, cool, I've got through that one. As soon as he's on the island, he starts to gather some wood together for a fire. What would happen? But a snake comes out, poisonous snake, bites him. And you think, after you've just been through this amazing trial of the shipwreck for 14 days, and then another thing comes, bitten by a deadly snake. All the islanders expect him to fall over and drop dead. And you see, you think, well, God, why didn't you rescue him? You know, you've just been through all that. You know, well, why Paul? Why pick on Paul? God wants to bring us through a situation right out the other side for a number of reasons. I just want to go through those this morning with us. Firstly, I think that God wanted to grow Paul's faith. That God wanted Paul to grow in his own faith. And so as he brought him through, it's not like God's some fairy godmother that comes and waves a magic wand over a problem or situation and it all just magically goes away. God wants us to trust him. And so there's an agenda through these trials, through these problems, through these troubles. The agenda is God wants me to trust him and to walk with him and to go through with him whatever the situations are. Because my faith in God grows as I take a step and as I trust God, my experience of trusting God grows. Faith isn't something theoretical. You can't pass it on to your children. It's not something kind of you look in a textbook. It's something that grows in your heart as you trust God and as we experience God's bringing us through these things. And so I guess Paul came out of that terrible trial, I guess he came out with his faith stronger in the powerful, powerful, wonderful grace of God. And that's what God, one of the things God, in our spiritual journey, you know, we're here for however many years we've got here in our life here on earth, we go to heaven, there's an agenda. There's one of the agendas God's got is to see the faith in my heart grow, my trust in God grow. Secondly, I think that the reason why God brought him through the storm instead of rescuing him out of the storm was God wanted to demonstrate his power. And sure, God could demonstrate his power just instantaneously stopping the storm. Jesus did that. But God wanted to do a whole series, a whole number of things through that situation. Because this is what happened in the third thing, was that God wanted to show that he was a kind, as well as a powerful God, he was a very kind God. Because God, the angel said to Paul this in Acts 27:24. The angel said, God has graciously given you all the lives of those who sail with you as well. In other words, in the middle of that storm, when none of them expected to survive, it wasn't as though God was just going to get Paul through. The boat was going to be smashed on the rocks and somehow miraculously Paul was going to be rescued. The rest of them would perish. But God was wanting to demonstrate his kindness, that God is a very, very kind God. And so God had told the angel to say to Paul that you could have, that those lives of those men are going to be spared too. And I guess after that experience, every one of those men would have known that there's a God in heaven who cares. I mean, out of a shipwreck, out of a 14-day storm like that, you don't just, every one of you walk away. And so they landed on the beach. Imagine those faces of those 200 whatever be, as they washed upon the beach and looked and counted round and realized every single, including non-swimmers, because many of them weren't able to swim in those days, were there. Amazing thought, the kindness of God. So it was a way of drawing those people towards God. God uses the things we go through as a way of drawing other people to God. As people see the goodness of God, as God brings us through trials, brings us through situations, it speaks to other people that there is a good God and he does care. And lastly, the other thing why I believe God brought him through the storm instead of rescuing him out of the storm was that God wanted his kingdom to come on that Isle of Malta. A very remarkable thing happened on Malta, because when they arrived on the island there, this snake bit Paul, and the islanders, who it says were kind people, they showed them unusual kindness, but the islanders pointed a finger at Paul and said, he must be a bad guy. And they had the belief in the island of the God of Justice. And so they said, this God of Justice, through that snake, is making sure he dies. Paul... He shook the snake off into the fire. And when they looked and watched, and he didn't die, they changed their minds. And they said, this guy, there's something about this guy. Then the chief official of the island, his father-in-law, was sick in bed, fever, dysentery. And so they asked, Paul went and prayed for him, and the guy got better. And then it says something remarkable. I mean, Malta is not a very big island, but it says that all the people on the island were healed. Amazing. I mean, that's a pretty good way of starting a church. Pretty good kind of... I mean, I guess Paul spent 3 months then on that island. So that was a kind of good jump start for a church, wasn't it? A demonstration, a clear demonstration of God's power, God's mercy, and the fact that God cares, and the fact that God does remarkable things. So what an amazing thing. And so if God had just stilled the storm and rescued Paul out of that, none of that would have happened. And so through the trial, through the difficulty that Paul went through, it ended up with credit to God and God's kingdom being extended. You don't know in your life, the things that you go through, the trials, the difficulties, the things that are real storms, you don't know how God is bringing his kingdom through your life and the life of other people through those circumstances. And that's why I believe God wants us to have these eyes of faith, that when we're in the middle of a storm, that we go to God and say, God, I want to ask that you bring me through this situation. God may do what happened with Jesus, and he walk up and just still the storm and take you out of the situation. But I think, usually, more often than not, God wants to bring us right through the situation. And then when you look back on that situation in the past, you know you've got in your heart a certainty of the goodness of God, a certainty that God has brought you through that. Your faith in God is strong, it's real, it's alive, it's living. And so through these trials, something builds in us which is eternal, which is powerful, which is strong. And that's why Jesus said, the verse that we had originally, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that's overcome the world. It's our faith. Faith is the engine that gets us through, right through to the other side. There's a Spanish explorer called Fernando Cordes in the 1500s. And 1519, he arrived to conquer Mexico with just 700 men. When he disembarked his men and supplies off the ship, the Spanish explorer, military conqueror, whatever, the first thing he did was he set fire to his 11 ships. Now, can you imagine those 700 soldiers sort of turning around and see the way they'd come all the way from Spain? It was on fire. But he kind of cut off the exit route. He wanted them to kind of really be focused on the job in hand, to make sure there was no kind of sense of, oh, well, perhaps we could kind of come back next year and give it another go. He wanted them to be really focused. Sometimes God cuts off our exit route. Have you found that? Sometimes the exit route that you were hoping would be a way out of the trouble, it's on fire and there's no way back. And because God wants us to, God's kind, and he wants to lead us forward. He wants us to go forward with him through the situation, not to run back and say, I wish I'd never got into that in the first place. Because God always has a way, and it's forward. It's forward through whatever it is happening in my life. I read a story of a man learning to fly a plane, and this man was, the pilot and the instructor were up in this little plane. And the instructor said to the trainee pilot, I want you to put the plane into a steep dive. So he did what he was told, put the plane into a dive. The guy who was flying, was totally unprepared for what happened next. The engine stalled and the plane began to plunge out of control towards the earth. It soon became clear that the instructor was not going to lift a finger to help him. So immediately panic in his mind. And for a few seconds, what seemed like eternity, this plane was just spinning out of control. But he managed to focus, and he corrected the situation and got the plane kind of back and restarted. The other thing was back on level. And he turned to his instructor and he was furious. And he said, and he poured out his fearful frustration in what had happened. The instructor very calmly said this: "There's no position you can get this aeroplane into that I cannot get it out of. If you want to learn to fly, go up there and do it again." And it was, there's a sense in which whatever situation we get our life in, God has got a way through it. Because God is so big, he's like that instructor. Whatever God, the sovereignty of God is so amazing. As we see the lives of those people in the Bible who made mistakes, who did things wrong, who deliberately did things wrong, God still had a way of getting them through the situation. He didn't necessarily pull them out of the situation, but he did bring them through the situation. I want us to see that this faith stuff, God wants to grow it. In our house, we've got an aquarium where we keep little tropical fish, quite sweet little fish. There's a type of fish that some people like to keep, a type of carp called koi carp, Japanese, very kind of specialist, bit upmarket from goldfish, that people keep outside in their kind of ponds, ornamental ponds, whatever. And the thing about this fish is very interesting, is that these fish can either grow big, can grow up to 3 feet long, or they can remain just a few inches long. The thing that's interesting is that they grow determined by the size of the pond. If they're in a small pond, they stay small. If it's a big pond, they somehow know that they can grow bigger. And faith has got some koi-like properties, in that faith can stay very kind of, it's hard to say that, wasn't it? Koi-like property. Faith can stay very, very kind of tiny, or it can grow into something. And I think God wants our faith to grow. And I want to stir you today that if you're not in a situation, if you're not in trouble, if the moment you're not experiencing this trouble, praise God. Seek God now. Learn to hear God now when you're not in trouble, so that when you are in the bottom of the boat and the thing's kind of going to get crashing around you, you know where to go. If you're not in trouble today, then let's listen to God and draw near and hear what he's saying to us. And if this morning the waves are crashing down and the lightning is all around, then say, God, what is the way through for me? There is a way through. God has a way through. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, Lord, Father God, Jesus, thank you for the example of the life of the Apostle Paul, that Lord, in the midst of the worst situation, Lord, he turned to you and you spoke to him and you brought him through. And so many good things came out as a result of that trial, Lord. I want to ask that you would today, Lord, as we're before you this morning, that, Lord, you'd speak into our hearts. And for those of us that, Lord, that are in trouble, financial trouble, trouble in our families, trouble at work, facing obstacles we don't see how to get out of. We may even feel like our exit has been closed, that the boats have been burned. There's no way back. God, I'm asking that you would, as we're quiet before you, you'd speak into our hearts. To give us that sense, Lord, of way through. That knowledge of you making a way through. Lord, that assurance that you're with us. And that you're making a way through the situation that we're in. And for those of us this morning that aren't in that situation, I ask that you'd help us as we draw close to you. That you'd speak into our lives fresh this morning. Things you want to reassure us about, things you want to speak to us, things for the future, things you want us to do now, Lord. Holy Spirit, we're still before you. I'm asking, Lord, as we draw near to you, that you'd speak to every single heart here this morning, Lord.